Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. I'm Melody Cedarstrom. I'm here with my co-host, Pastor Butch Paul. Okay, let's go ahead and get to the gold prices today. We have gold up 370. Well, I said be up, and I figured it'd be up higher than this, but the dollar had a little bit of reversal, too. 1747. Silver plunged today, but it came back somewhat. It's still down 16 at 22.44. Platinum was down $9 at $985. Palladium was down 22 at 2,040. The USDX was up 0.22 at 93.32. Crude oil was up 71 at 74.01. Paper markets today. You have the Dow was up 33 points at 34,798. The S&P rose for a third straight day to end this crazy week, up a whole 6 points, but it's still higher. 4,455. The NASDAQ was down 4 points, 15,047. European markets were all negative across the board. Asia, all was negative except the Nikkei, and the 10-year yield, 1.458%. So, you know, I think the biggest story, I don't know, they're all big stories anymore today, Butch, but the crypto plunge, price of cryptocurrencies like Bitcoin and Ethereum, they cratered today after China essentially declared the digital currencies illegal. Gee, who would have thunk? How many times have we said that on this program? Countries aren't going to allow people to mess, or governments mess with their currencies.
Especially unregulated.
Especially unregulated. And so you have those two who plunged after China basically essentially declared the cryptos to be illegal. And you know what's funny? All the articles, all from the mainstream media, are all kind of soothing this story about that it's really no big deal. It doesn't necessarily mean investors should run for the hills. Heaven knows. You don't want to sell that stuff at these high prices. Why would you do that? Oh, my goodness gracious. They're just calling this, it's just usual that, you know, this is a wild price swing. It's okay. It's not the end of the world. It's just a wake-up call. And, you know, just recognize that it's just a volatile asset. and, you know, it's no big deal. You know, it's amazing how they say that and do that, Butch.
I know. Well, it's the same thing with paper assets. There's nothing there, and there's less there with the Bitcoin than there is with paper. At least the paper's there.
I mean, here you have
a digit.
Yeah, you have a digit, and of course, you know, China's, you know, they regulate. They just don't think that it's going to happen. And yes, Bitcoin is still up 40% on the year. That's okay. We're not saying, you know, but I wouldn't be there. It's all these governments are going to come out.
If I were there, I'd be selling it right now.
I would too. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, I'd be selling it in a heartbeat. But, you know, I'm not making fun of people who've done it because someone made some good money at it, and good for them. They took a chance and they won.
Oh, I think so too.
Now it's time to make a move and get out of it.
Yep. But human nature, just like silver, whenever silver runs to 50, people should get out or sell some of it. They don't have to get out 100%, but sell some. Convert it. But they don't. And then they hold it, then the price, you know, that's what you do with volatile markets. And silver is volatile, just not quite like Bitcoin. But so anyway, it was kind of a weird day, Butch, for news.
Yeah, it was. There's one thing I wish somebody would have told me back when I was youngin'.
What's
that? Keeps on the comic books that I had when I was a little boy, you know, 10, 12 years old. Because they just sold 1962 Amazing Fantasy number 15 comic book with the first appearance of Spider-Man. Sold for $3.6 million. That probably cost a dime back then. Somebody made a very good investment. You know, so all I can say is, how do you, would you know? Who would have thought it? That's a big return on a comic book.
Well, you know, it's interesting is my cousin, when I was in Pennsylvania last week, and I can remember giving them, not all of them, but some of them, to her sister, the old 45s.
Oh, yeah.
And in their sleeves, in the original sleeves, I mean, these records, because they were stored at my aunt and uncle's all these years, I'll guarantee you there's a little fortune in there.
Yeah,
but the sister's so stubborn, you know, she'll just take them, put them out somewhere, and they'll just get destroyed. But I'll bet there's a little fortune in there, because there was, I mean, I couldn't believe the condition. They look like you just bought them from the store.
Maybe I'll get them back.
Yeah. But, so, yeah, some of my point, there's a lot of those items that many have in their basements or attics and so forth. They're just stored away. Yeah, you might have a little cherry in there, you know, that
That's
might...
That's very true.
Mm-hmm.
I remember they used to have the long play albums. They were 33 and a third. Remember those? They called them 33 and a third play
albums. Oh, absolutely.
Albums. Mm-hmm. Then they had the little round disc you put on there to play the little 45 that had a big hole in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
Then
yes.
They had one even faster turn than that. I can't remember something of 75, but is a record turn really fast. But we're giving our age now. I mean, come on. Back when you and I started, where they actually had rotary phones. And most people, they give them a rotary phone, they just stare at it. They have no idea what it's for and how it works.
Well, they can't tell time either.
I know, folks, we're telling our age. We're telling our age. What can I say?
These kids today can't tell time on an analog clock, you know.
I know. I know that. It's so sad. It really is. It really is.
And you know, that really isn't the school's job. That should be parents' job.
That's parents' job. I agree.
That's a parent to tell, you know, it's like tying your shoe. I don't even know if people know how to, kids know how to tie their shoe, because everything is Velcro.
Well, I always thought when somebody's too lazy to tie the shoe, they're pretty lazy. They just slip them on, take off and flop around the mud. Oh, come on now, folks. The shoestring's put there for a purpose. Use them. Gee.
But anyway.
Yeah, I mean, that's just my opinion. In my opinion, and a dollar and a half buy a cup of coffee about anywhere.
But we all have one.
Yeah, we do. We really do.
Mm-hmm.
I guess you got the article about the semiconductor shortage again?
Yes.
They're having a hard time making... My son works at a car lot, and he does enjoy it. They can hardly get any new cars in at all. Now, it used to be you'd order them, and you got what you ordered. Now you take what you can get. It says the global semiconductor shortage that has paralyzed automakers for nearly a year shows signs of worsening. Folks, not getting better, worsening. As coronavirus infections halt chip assembly lines in Southeast Asia, forcing more car companies and electronic manufacturers to suspend production. A wave of the Delta variant case in Malaysia, Vietnam, and Philippines is causing production delays as factories that grow cut and package semiconductors, creating new bottlenecks on top of those called the soaring demand for chips. Underscoring that the problem defied easy solutions, the White House on Thursday held its second summit in 5 months with semiconductor manufacturers and buyers, and part of to gain more clarity on the scope of this crisis, senior administration officials said. Attendees included senior executives from Intel, GM, Ford, Apple, Microsoft, Samsung, and two dozen other companies, as well as Commerce Secretary Gina Raimondo and National Economic Council Director Brian Deese. It's just hard to believe that something that probably didn't cost but a few cents to make has stopped the auto industry. Wow, it's slowed down GM and Ford. A little device that costs nothing to make has cut down the automobile industry. Now, how many links are in that are unbelievably weak?
Well, you know, when I drive, and everybody knows I drove to Pennsylvania last week, and I remember talking and sharing on the program client with a lot of connections and so forth. The talk was in the financial world that the Asian countries were hoarding things. They were told to hoard a lot of these metals and things like that, which would affect the chips. But when I was coming back, I passed a key. I drive through Lancaster, where they have the largest auction in the country, in Mannheim. So there's always cars there, but the whole row is nothing but car lots, you know, couple miles of car. And you're right. The lots were vacant. So when I was coming back, there's a little Kia dealer right outside of, I guess it's Selbyville. Their parking lot was packed with cars. Packed.
Aren't they made in Korea?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the next time you drive past, take a look around and see if that was just a weird, you know, coincidence that they just happened to have all these cars. I mean, they were packed.
What? It got my attention. Mm-hmm. Of course. There's no Kia dealers near where I am, but Kia made in Korea, and I expect to manufacture their own chips.
I would expect so.
I know the Kia comes with a fantastic warranty, better than American cars, better than Ford and Chevy. Mm-hmm. A great warranty. I've owned a couple of Suzukis over the years. I had a little four-wheel drive Sidekick. I had 180,000 miles on trade, and it's still running well. I had another little blue Suzuki, a two-wheel drive, front-wheel drive car. When I traded it, it had 80,000 on it. It still had another 20,000 miles of warranty. It had 100,000 warranty on the drivetrain. You don't get that in Ford and GM.
No.
So, are the cars that much better? If so, that should really embarrass GM and Ford and Chrysler. The best you get out of them, I think, is like 50, if that much. I don't think that much. But that should be embarrassing to U.S. car makers that we can't match Kia. I mean, come on. What is it? Is our labor that ship shod that we can't just guarantee it for a reasonable amount of time? Mm. Somebody spends, you know, anywhere from $20,000 to $40,000 for a car. Like, those going to run more than a couple years, wouldn't they?
You think?
So, that's my opinion on that. I'm sure it just made your day.
But anyway, yeah, I thought it was just kind of interesting. So next time you're driving around, or take a look at your car lots, ask your son.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know he said they're having a hard time getting Fords and Chryslers in. I swear. Chrysler's where he works.
Yeah.
Now, here's another shortage coming on. Oh, you bring back memories from last year. Costco warns customers over delays on essential household items. Costco Wholesale is having trouble, guess what, fulfilling toilet paper orders. Here we go again. The membership-only warehouse retail chain is issuing a warning to customers that have purchased a common household item online, saying they may face delays in receiving their orders. Due to increased volumes, you might see a slight delay in processing this order, Costco's customer service team said in a purchase order confirmed email. The retailer knows that the company is working to fill everything as quickly as possible, and the customers will get a follow-up email with tracking information once the order is shipped. The warning notice comes after the company indicated that it would reinstate purchase limits on ration toilet paper at some of the store locations as customers reportedly stockpiled goods once again, mimicking the early days of COVID-19 pandemic last year. Oh, my gosh. Here we go again. Mail to get an extra roll of toilet paper.
Here we go.
You know, the same game, different year, same game. I don't know. I'm watching it happen. I'm seeing it happen. I know it's real, but it's hard to imagine in the United States that the schools ran out of food and the people ran out of toilet paper. Maybe we should build outhouses again and start getting catalogs like when I grew up. Just my opinion.
Yeah, it still amazes me, though, that they can't produce enough toilet paper to keep everybody happy, you know? Just
there's more to it than that. We know that.
I know.
And electric car shift drains fuel taxes in some countries. We knew this was going to happen. 15 years ago, I told my Bible study, they're going to start taxing by the mile. That's before electric cars is out. I said they're losing money on fuel-efficient cars. Not electric ones, but fuel-efficient cars. So they're going to tax you by the mile. And I said, this is coming. Well, it didn't quite come in that way with the fuel-efficient cars. But it is with the all-electric cars. And the hybrid cars. Officials in places like Norway and the UK are rethinking EV incentives and studying road pricing systems. Governments around the world have long encouraged motors to buy electric cars. Now they are starting to grapple with the consequence of the green drive, dwindling income from fuel taxes. Several countries have sought to phase out gasoline and diesel cars by offering tax and other incentives to drivers who buy new electric vehicles, part of a broader efforts to cut carbon emissions. But in places where more EVs are hitting the road, income from fuel tax, which often accounts for a significant chunk of the public revenue, is falling. In Norway, home to the world's highest electric vehicles uptake rate, lawmakers have scrapped tax breaks on electric cars as they try to plug a hole in the tax revenue. In the UK, where fuel taxes account for 7% of an annual income, let that sink in, folks, fuel taxes account for 7% of annual income. Lawmakers are saying a potential new levy based on how much people drive instead. That's a chunk, Belly. We're talking almost 10%, 7%. That's a chunk, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It truly is.
And we knew that this would happen because they have to have taxes. And I guess such cars, but electric cars cost as much to drive as the gasoline cars. Charging them costs money.
Hey, we're heading into the break, and we'll be right back. Please stay tuned. You're listening to Financial Survival.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. 775-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSC Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSCTalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
And welcome back. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Make sure you visit our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. What's next, Butch? It's Friday.
Nothing too serious here. Just knock off and go fishing. How's that?
Okay, that sounds like a plan.
I knock them up and fish with in the ocean. Show me how to catch them big ones.
All righty. We'll do.
Okay. Staffed Michigan hospitals cut workers' beds amid patient surge. Now, this is not just happening in Michigan. It's everywhere. The action comes as the fourth wave of the CCP, Chinese Communist Party virus, the pathogen that caused COVID-19, has caused hospitals to be swamped with patients. And that had been proven to be a lie, but nonetheless, we'll go on from there. The Detroit-based Henry Ford Health Systems announced on September 13th that it was cutting 120 beds from five of its eight hospitals due to the lack of nurses and other staff members to service them. 2 days later, Beaumont Health System announced that it was temporarily closing 180 beds for lack of staffing. Now, Melody, I'm not done yet, but this is getting serious. I mean, people get sick, where are they going to go? Henry Ford Health and Beaumont Health, along with most of Michigan's hospital chains, implemented requirements earlier this year for all their employees to be vaccinated against the CCP virus. Those refused to do so face suspension, firing, or resignation for refusing the shot. Henry Ford's health system hasn't diagnosed the number of employees it has lost due to non-compliance with its mandate. Data quantifying the nursing shortage in Michigan are hard to come by. At a September 9th press conference, Brian Peters, CEO of the Michigan Health and Hospital Association, said that no precise figures will be available until the statewide study is completed later this year. What I can tell you is this. I have never heard a consistent theme from across our entire membership like I have on the staffing issue, Peters said. Right now, our staffing is stressed to a level that has never been seen previously. Man, that doesn't speak well for the health care of the country.
No, and they blame it all on the unvaccinated COVID
Of course.
Yeah.
Of course. You know,
how about some of these hospitals with just poor management?
Well, I have no doubt. But people are really, seriously, people are getting tired of being told, we got to do this. You got to do it. No, you don't have to do it. And that's lawfully, they can't make you do it. But they can give you a hard time, I suppose. But nonetheless, when people are sick, they can't get in for treatments.
I know.
Some places are closing down their baby neonatal areas. So I guess women can't have babies. Just hold it, lady. I mean, you know, I don't know. It's just one of those things that we have to face up to be real. This has caused a lot of situations. This COVID pandemic has caused so many situations all over the world. But again, I live in America. When hospitals are understaffed and somebody I know gets sick or even I get sick, what are you going to do? That's just a question that we need to ask ourselves. And comments on that?
No, and you know what? I guess Biden did a press conference, and you know, he said that, you know, he conceded that things could have been better in his first 8 months. He didn't make any apologies. He predicted the country would be in a different place by year's end. And I think that's what I wanted to bring out in just this. He says putting into, he says, Biden told reporters Friday morning predicting that things would be looking better by the end of the first calendar year as president. It's understandable, he said, on voter frustration, noting that people thought that the pandemic would be more under control, but hadn't anticipated so many would refuse to be vaccinated. Putting this into context here, it's going to take some time, he said, and at the end of the year, we're going to be in a very different place. So, I don't know. That's kind of a scary statement.
I agree with him. Yeah. We're going to be in a very different place. I agree with him. I'm not setting dates or anything like that, but if we're already seeing food shortages, and we really are, whether they're real or not, when schools can't get the food, there's a food shortage for that school.
Yeah.
And any business can't get it. I don't care if they're holding back, if they're hiding it, or whatever they're doing. If the food is not getting to the consumer, there's a food shortage. I mean, is that pretty simple, Melody?
It's pretty simple.
Yeah, so I don't know what the future holds. I'm not a prophet in that sense. But we're watching a lot of things unwind here, and we're already starting to see things happen. We can't even build our own cars for a 50-cent piece. There's already shortages of new cars. Could that be a plan to get us back, cut us away from being on the road so much, and even, who knows, put us down on bicycles? Of course it could be part of the plan. And it probably is. But the end results are they're running out of cars. And they're running out of food some places. I don't care what the reason between there and here is, but that's the results of it. When people go to the store to buy something, it's not there. I don't care if they held it back somewhere and wait for the price to go up. It's still not there. So I don't know how else to put it. That's about as simple as old hillbilly can put it.
Well, you know, you're talking about lack of staff and everything. Southwest Airlines, their customers, they suffered hundreds of cancellations, delays, all kinds of disruptions this summer because of lack of staff. So the airline is about only halfway to its goal of hiring 5,000 workers this year. So, you know, they're going to cut flights. So, again, just another sign.
What do you see maybe perhaps a plan to do these things to make us more dependent on other people, or cut back on what we always considered our liberties, our freedoms? Could that be part of the plan, seriously?
I think these shortages and cuts in the economy and everything is different. You don't let a crisis go wait. You don't let a crisis go wasted, or whatever they said. Go to waste. You take advantage of that crisis, and that way you can, you know, push your little own agenda at that point in time. I think when we're seeing, it's chaos. This is chaotic. It's when you keep what is going on.
It's just not about
their control and their agenda and their plan. It's all part of it. But again, it's like, you know, it's like this country, maybe even the world, is the ant's nest that has been stirred up. And it's just like everything is, it seems like it's just a crazy world. I mean,
well, it's causing
different
friction, for sure. It's causing a lot of friction between, we'll say, citizens and leaders. And that's necessary sometimes. I realize that. It's causing a lot of friction between families for different issues. It truly is. But, you know, my wife, Marsha Jean, bless her heart, at least once a year, but usually the last part of the year, flies out to see her oldest son and our four grandchildren in Colorado, Colorado Springs. And I don't get to go, somebody got here and take care of the house. So she goes, and that's fine. It may not happen this year. I don't know what it can do with this and whether it's happening or not, but domestic flight vaccine mandate, it's not off the table.
Yeah.
Now think about this. If you don't want to take the shot, maybe you won't be able to travel on a plane.
Yep, true.
And I think that's coming even for buses and trains and who knows. Maybe automobiles cross borders. I don't know. Requiring the shots would present significant logistical and political challenges. The White House recommendation to require all visitors flying into the United States to provide proof of vaccination has sparked speculation over whether the federal government will ultimately require passengers on domestic flights to be vaccinated as well. Speculation increased even before the new requirements when Dr. Anthony Fauci told podcast The Skim earlier this month that we would support requiring vaccination for air travel. Let me repeat that. They will support requiring vaccinations for air travel. If you want to get on a plane and travel with other people, you should be vaccinated, Fauci, director of the National Institute of Allergies and Infectious Disease and a top medical advisor to the Biden administration, said. White House COVID-19 response coordinator Jeff Zients, announcing the international requirement Monday, fed that speculation by refusing to rule out an eventual domestic travel requirement. We're not taking any measures off the table, he said. When they say that, Melody, they're planning it. It's in the plan. It's in the works. Whether it's days away or months away, it's in the works.
Yeah, I believe it.
You know, and I do know that one day, because I've seen this coming for years, and I'll say it now, and you, someday when it happens, you say, well, Butch Paul told me that. They're going to require passports across state lines. That's coming. They're called international passports. It's happening in country from country to country. It's going to happen here. You know, states are basically, according to the Constitution and everything else, are independent sovereign nations of themselves. So if they decide to put up a checkpoint to improve whatever they want you to prove, they're going to do it. So those are things, folks, that you look forward to in the future in this country, especially if they become more chaotic. More violent acts break out all over the country for whatever reason, yep. whether it's man-made or not, it's yep. going to happen.
It is.
Go ahead, Melody.
You know, well, I mean, I agree with you. And that there is so much that comes down from the top. Universal basic income in Phoenix. The city council approved it to give monthly payments to approximately 1,000 local low-income families for a year. The plan is going to be financed by the American Rescue Plan Act, the latest $1.9 trillion federal COVID-19 relief bill that Congress approved last March. I thought that was supposed to go for, you know, just here's something else that's money is being dished out. And what's it go to? This is taxpayers' money. Taxpayers' money. And it's just, they're going to spend $12 million on its monthly payments, officially called the Financial Assistance for Phoenix Families Program. They're going to pick 1,000 families and get $1,000 per month for 12 months. I don't know what happens after that.
Well,
do you think they're just going to stop it? You think
no.
they're just going to stop it? No.
They can't. They couldn't stop it.
No.
People pitch a fit if you try to stop it after that. You try to cut off benefits checks right now and see what happens.
You betcha.
So
betcha.
No.
So here's just another city out of how many? And this is Phoenix. I lived there for such a long time. It's hard to believe. It's really hard to believe.
It took them a lot of years to get here to be a fully socialist communist nation. It's taken a lot of years. But they finally maneuvered most people into it because most young people today think it's a good idea. They make it look so pretty and so attractive. You know, no one's poor. Everyone has what they need. You know, they make it sound so good. And it does sound good. They tried it when the Pilgrims first came over under Bradford. They tried the communist design for people. You know, would all make sure we have something to eat. We'll all share the crop. But people didn't want to go to work in the fields because they're going to get some anyway. Next year, Bradford said, "You raise it, you eat it, you trade it, but doesn't that, you know, it's up to you. We're not going to help anybody. You're going to do it yourself." In my time, old America became a very prosperous nation because people had to work to eat. Matter of fact, the Bible says, "If you don't work, you shouldn't eat." So, here you go, Melody.
Yeah.
That's just what can I say? It is what it is. And this one, I've been telling people for years, you have too, and I'm going to tell them again. Don't keep valuables in the bank. Don't do it. Because it's really not yours. If it's in the bank, it's in the bank. Now, maybe it'd be yours, but if they decide, for whatever reason, to confiscate what's in that bank, or the bank decides they need to pay the bills, folks, it's gone. It's gone. FBI robs 800 safe deposit boxes, steals people's life savings, claiming cash smelled like drugs. This is Los Angeles. For decades now, federal government and their cohorts in law enforcement have been carrying out theft of the citizenry on a massive scale using the Civil Asset Forfeiture, CAF. The 1980s era laws were designed to drain resources from powerful criminal organizations, but CAF has become a tool for law enforcement agencies across the U.S. to steal money and property from countless innocent people. As the following case out of Beverly Hills illustrates, no criminal charge is required. Let me repeat that. No criminal charge is required for this confiscation. Wow. Resulting in easy inflows of cash for the law enforcement departments and the proliferation of abuse. This phenomenon is known as policing for profit. That's not a word, Melly. Policing for profit. And the latest example is exceedingly egregious. Using bogus excuses, the FBI raided 800 safe deposit boxes at a single location in Beverly Hills. They made random and apparently unsubstantiated accusations that the U.S. private vaults in Beverly Hills was aiding criminal activity. The business was indicted in February on claims that it marketed itself to criminals to help them launder money and dodge government detection. But no one was ever charged. Instead, the FBI raided the place and confiscated, or rather robbed, people like Joseph Roos and others of their life savings. Those folks like Roos were then forced to prove their innocence in order to get the money back. No longer assumed guilty. The FBI falsely claimed that Roos, who was the chef, made the $57,000 they stole from drug dealing because the drug dog alerted to the presence of drugs on the cash. It was widely known, and a large percentage, upwards of 90% of the U.S. paper money, contains trace amounts of cocaine. Having a large amount of cash would most assuredly alert a drug dog. In fact, the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Ninth Circuit has ruled the government does not have probable cause to seize cash from individuals based on a drug detection dog reaction, stating specifically that the majority of money in circulation has drugs on it. $57,000. And he's got to prove his innocence. There's something totally backward about that, Melody.
There certainly is. It's not the first story that we heard about that. You know, throughout the years, we've heard so many.
But, you know, people like him, he's a chef. I'm sure he's earned their penny of it. And, I mean, just because you got a little bit of money in the bank, they assume that you got it illegally. After all, Melody, why should you have money in the bank? I mean, why do you think you should have $57,000? What are you going to do with it? How dare you? I don't know. This is America today, and I'm sorry to hard to say that, but it is what it is. We're going to go to break in a few seconds. I'll say
we'll be right back.
Here we are.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSC Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at DGScoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Welcome back. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. What's next, Butch?
Okay. We knew this was happening, but they're finally starting to admit it in the regular press. Latin American migration, once limited to a few countries, turns into a mass exodus. Asian standoff in Texas reflects broader mix of nationalities fleeing pandemic hobbled economies from around the hemisphere. And before I continue, how do they get to our border? If they're broke, no money, no way to get there. How do they get to our border?
How'd they get here? I know.
That's a fair question, isn't it? I mean, how'd they get from Haiti to the border? Did they swim?
Maybe they used Clinton's... Clinton's, what was it that he had?
I don't know.
You remember he started his fund, his foundation?
Oh, yeah.
Clinton's money, yeah, Clinton's foundation money.
Yeah. But, you know, there's a question.
But I think a lot of the Catholic Church is also a lot of funds flow that way. Plus, you have a lot of liberal money flowing in that way.
What's a question we should ask ourselves? Mm-hmm. Because if they're so cotton picking, broken, poor, and depressed, how did it get here?
There's groups. There's groups and stuff.
That's just amazing.
Anyway, it's probably very organized. It has to be.
Oh, it must be. It's just like child trafficking and everything else. It's from what I've been reading, been talking to other people about this, child trafficking and sex trafficking is pretty cotton picking common. It's a billions of dollar business in revenue. I talked to some of the girls that were part of it before, and it's just a sad situation. But anyways, yeah, folks, this is for real. They're doing it. They're undermining America's economic basis. And, folks, well, there's none of it left. But they're not quite finished yet. Until they get us into a third world atmosphere in this country, they're not going to be happy. The gathering of thousands of Haitians at the Texas-Mexico border this past week reflects a stark change in migration patterns to the U.S. driven by COVID-19. Everybody blames them. They were coming across long before COVID. My goodness. COVID had nothing to do with this. A far broader mix of nationalities is turning up at the border than in the past. For decades, most crossers were Mexican men, and in recent years, families from the troubled Central American countries of Guatemala, Honduras, and El Salvador, known as the Northern Triangle. And folks, even to come from Guatemala and Honduras, they got to travel for hundreds of miles, and they don't walk it. They don't walk that far. If they did, they'd have to have money to buy food with along the way. Don't sound very poor or hard up to me. Some of the Ecuadorians, Brazilians, Nicaraguans, Venezuelans, Haitians, and Cubans are turning up by the hundreds of thousands. I said hundreds of thousands, a trend that accelerated sharply in the past 6 months. I wonder why. From October 2020 through August, nearly 300,000 migrants from countries other than Mexico and the Northern Triangle were encountered at the border, a fifth of all crossings. For all fiscal 2020, When the pandemic slowed the flow of migrants, the figure was nearly 44,000, or 11% of crossings. In fiscal 2019, it was 77,000, or 9% of crossings. And the year before, it was 21,000, or 5%. As recently as 2007, said migrants represented less than 1%. So we've seen a rise in percentage-wise, unbelievable. 300,000 from countries other than Mexico and what they call the Northern Triangle. They don't get there by walking and riding burros and pulling wagons. That is a farce. Don't believe it. These people are paid to come or given assistance to come. It's for a purpose. They're going to undermine our financial basis to the point. Well, it's already there. There's no recovery. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen that we recover from this. I don't mean to be a doom and gloomer people, but if you stop and think a minute, they admit there were close to $30 trillion in debt. Now, that's really a low estimate. And the derivatives market, Melody, is how many hundreds of trillions in debt?
Quite a few.
So they can't redeem that. They either call it off and say we can't pay it and start over again, or they, I don't know. U.S. projections on drought-hit Colorado River grow more dire. The U.S. government released projections Wednesday that indicate an even more troubling outlook for a river that serves 40 million people in the American West. The Bureau of Reclamation recently declared the first ever shortage on the Colorado River, which means Arizona, Nevada, and Mexico. I didn't know Mexico had our water, but I guess you do. We'll get less water than normal next year. By 2025, remember when that seemed like a long ways off to you? 2025.
Sure did.
Yeah, I can remember. What was that, Space Odyssey 2000 or whatever that was? Remember that?
Mm-hmm. I do.
Oh, 2000 seemed like a long time, like it was just a long ways off. And that's been 22 years ago almost. Anyway, by 2025, there's a 6 to 10 chance Lake Mead, a barometer for how much water some states get, will reach a level where California will be in a second phase of cuts. The nation's most populated state has the most senior rights to river water. Well, the reservoir on the Nevada-Arizona border is key for those three lower Colorado River basin states. Lake Powell on the Arizona-Utah border is the guide for Colorado, New Mexico, and Wyoming, and Utah in the upper basin. Smaller reservoirs upstream of Lake Powell have been releasing water into the massive lake so it can continue producing hydropower. But any bump from the releases that started this summer is in fact factored into the five-year projections, the Bureau of Reclamation said. Whether this shortage is man-made or real, I don't know. But it's working. People are losing the water supplies. Farmers can't even get the water they used to get to water the crops. It's happening, folks. It's happening. Any comments, Melody?
No. So there.
There you go. Boy, that was a deep thought. Wow.
Oh, we used to go boating on Lake Powell, and I lived in Arizona.
You?
Yes, and it was beautiful. And I've known, the water has been, it's been, Lake Powell's been losing water for a very long time. But it's certainly at a more severe level at this point in time. But yeah, it's been losing water for a while. This was one of the largest man-made lakes. It's beautiful. They used to have these caverns, really thin caverns that you could go in back because it's all sandstone. And you could swim back and you'd look up and there'd be nothing but these huge, huge walls of, sandstone. And it was a pretty cool place to go.
But, I bet it was.
Hmm?
And new study finds growing number of young people, bless their hearts, suffering from climate change anxiety. A new study finds it is quite worrying and makes me think about our future. And it's definitely not a place that I want my kids to live in, one student said. 10,000 young adults from 10 countries were asked how they feel about climate change. Children started telling us that they were feeling betrayed and abandoned, and they felt that governments were lying about the effectiveness of the action they were taking to address a climate emergency. Researchers from the University of Bath say 84% of 16 to 25-year-olds surveyed are at least somewhat worried about this climate change. Nearly 60% say they are extremely worried about the climate crisis. 75% say their future is frightening. Well, something else to think about. What's your opinion on that?
I mean, well, you know what? These young kids don't have much of a worry for anything else, so they may as well worry about climate change, right?
That's true. That's pretty true. You can't get them to go to work. Yeah, that's very true. Australian what's police... Next? Go ahead, I'm sorry. What?
No, I was just going to say, what's next?
Okay. Australian police... Now, Australia is basically a really, sincerely a prison camp. I mean, really a prison camp, folks. Restricted to your home. When you go out, you can be arrested. And, and they would do arrest people and fine them. Australian police go door to door asking, are you aware of any planned protest or events coming up? Wow. A trio of Australian police officers visit a man claiming they are doing welfare checks to ask residents if they plan on participating in ongoing protests against COVID-19 mitigation efforts. How would a welfare check tie in to ask a question like that? It doesn't. The welfare check was an excuse to go to the homes, folks. Government agencies sometimes will lie to you. I know it's a shock, but they will. The man in this video was asked if he had plans or if he knows anyone who has plans to protest if he has participated in protests in the past. Have you gone to any protests in the past, the policeman asked? No, I'm not going to answer that. You guys wouldn't be here otherwise, the man said. I'd like to know how you got this address, actually, the man told the police. Anything else you might want to tell us to help us ensure the public safety? An officer asked after a barrage of questions about his plans. No, as long as you aren't going around and shooting people with rubber bullets like in Victoria, the man said. He had some nerve. He had some nerve. He stood up to him and said, it's none of your business, in other words. I like that very much. I do. People got to speak up. You know, all of a sudden, we think these people are gods. You follow what I'm saying?
Of course, I do.
I mean, if they wear a badge and a gun, all of a sudden they're gods. No, they're not. They're just regular people. What makes them dangerous is they've been given authority. And if that authority is wrong, if the law is wrong, and you protest it, you could be in danger. But if in a good conscience, if you know that law is wrong and it bothers your conscience, you can't really then obey it, then that's why a lot of people end up in jail because their conscience won't let them do something, including get the vaccine. You're going to like this one. Tears in the Oval Office. Representative Pamela Jayapal, Democrat from Washington, broke into tears while arguing her case to President Joe Biden that the reconciliation bill should include a pathway to citizenship. Playbook has learned that during an intense meeting at the White House on Wednesday, Representative Pamela Jayapal broke into tears while arguing her case to President Joe Biden that the reconciliation bill should include a pathway to citizenship for Dreamers, essential workers, and farm workers. During the Oval Office meeting, several prominent Hill progressives argued forcefully for a robust reconciliation package. Jayapal, who leads the Congressional Progressive Caucus, advocated for the inclusion of major immigration provisions and toward that end used her own story as a selling point. So she broke down in tears. How about breaking down in tears for the people in this country that are suffering, really suffering, just trying to get ahead? How about breaking down in tears for the 75 million babies who are slaughtered? How about breaking down in tears about that? I'm going to break down tears the fact that we've educated children to be ignorant. Can't write. Can't do math. How about crying about that? Wouldn't that make more sense to you, Melody?
Certainly would.
You know, I expect being angry. Crocodile tears, what's called, folks. Don't trust them. Brazil's double-digit inflation fuels bets on bigger rate hikes. Brazil's annual inflation broke double digits for the first time since 2016, fueling a deep debate whether more aggressive interest rate hikes are needed in Latin America's largest economy. Consumer prices jumped 10.5%. Folks, ours hit that a long time ago. They just hit that in mid-September from a year ago. There's no point going through all the figures. But, Melody, we are well over 10% ourselves.
Absolutely.
Well over it. And in Brazil is worried about inflation hikes. Bringing up interest rates. We passed that 10.5 a long, long time ago. They won't admit it, of course, because they don't count fuel and food. Sometimes these stories irritate me a little bit.
Well, here's one that kind of irritated me. I didn't know this is, if the legislation clears the Senate, and that's the NDAA, if they pass that bill, it's going to create a new office to investigate military reports of unexplained incidents like UFOs. I mean, you know, it just gets nuttier and nuttier, doesn't it?
It does. Anyway, spend money.
But it's in there, and no, you know, it, they just slip it in there, and you know, it'll go to this, you know, whatever state. It was put forth by Representative Ruben Gallego, Democrat, of course, a Marine Corps combat veteran, and yeah, he said, you know, it's going to be the office would carry out on department-wide basis a mission currently performed by the Unidentified Aerial Phenomenon Task Force. It's just like, it's amazing, Butch.
I think it's just wonderful. Another federal department. Yeah.
Another federal department. Yeah.
Gee. And I won't get time to go through the articles in the last two in detail, but I'll just hit them real quickly. As debt default looms, Yellen faces her biggest test yet. Now, we know that's supposed to happen sometime, the 1st of October, I believe it is. Yeah, they get the ceiling raised.
Right.
And everything goes.
Right.
From, yeah.
Right.
Okay.
Right. Right.
So they're just talking about how serious that is, and it could lead to a financial collapse, and you know. So I don't know. We'll see. And China is enforcing power rationing at major industrial hubs amid shortages and climate push. And say they're trying to save the climate, so they're rationing power, folks. It's already started in California and Texas. It's coming here. Power being rationed will be nothing new in our future. I promise you that.
Everything will be rationed. Healthcare, food. You got it. Energy. Get prepared. 800-375-4188. We'll be back tomorrow. We'll be back Monday. And until then, be safe, good night, and God bless.
Never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad.